I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, Juneteenth, 2020, and this is episode 73 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. There's some work going on outside, and I'm going to try to get this recorded before it gets too loud, and hopefully it won't be too bad, but I apologize. If I don't do this now, who knows what I'll get done. So this week's best thing is Juneteenth. With everything going on, it's a holiday now, like a real holiday. It came up on my Google Calendar. It reminded me that Juneteenth is coming up as a holiday, and I'm seeing people getting work off, people taking the day off. There's various hashtags and like efforts to get Black people to just take it as a holiday and rest and reflect. So I thought that it would be a great day for a cover reveal, especially this cover that I am like ecstatic about. I'm so excited about it. So book 4 of Earthsinger Chronicles, Requiem of Silence. I did the cover reveal today, and I'll put it on the screen for the video folks and link to it in the show notes if you have missed it. This cover is my favorite of the series. I'm serious. I'd kind of given a teaser on Twitter last week and just saying how much I love it and how it makes me happy. And I just like look at it when I was feeling down. It really is fantastic. Amidst all of this, we're seeing lots of organizations and companies and just entities trying to do something for Black people. And I don't even know what to call it. And I admit that sometimes I feel some kind of way about it. Like, for instance, CIFWA, Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, said that I think for a year, Black people won't have to pay to join. And I think the conference is either going to be free for Black writers or the conference recordings. I'd have to go and look it up again. Similarly, I think RWA was making the conference free for Black writers. And, you know, I don't like to be like critical of everything. And I'm not really, you know, I see it. I have my own feelings about it. I think that it's indicative that people are really trying to do something to show support for Black Lives Matter and show support for just human rights and equality. And I definitely applaud that. Personally, you know, the reason I never joined CIFWA is not because I couldn't afford it. And it does make me feel, I don't know, just it gives me a little bit of pause when I see that the first thing people are trying to do is make things free or discounts or scholarships. And I know I'm speaking from a place of privilege and I totally acknowledge that. Like, yes, I can afford it. That's not the reason, you know? And I'm blessed to be able to, you know, have the economic security that I have. And I do want to acknowledge that. And like, maybe that is the root of my feelings. But, Piper Hughley, the author, who I respect very much. And, you know, she's a fabulous writer. She's a professor at Spelman. She's Black intelligentsia. She has a different perspective that I thought was good to acknowledge, because this is kind of the debate. It's like, I do see people saying, hey, is this what we need? This is not necessarily what we're asking for, but and then Piper comes in, and she was on a Facebook group that I'm a part of, because someone had that similar reaction to me. They were like, and she was like, you know, her day job involves studying women writers and Black women writers. And so she says she's well-versed in their struggles with publication. And she has seen these various like opportunities from publishers and agents and things for Black writers. And she's seeing them getting kind of low engagement. And her point was, take the opportunity. She goes, I don't care what it is or who's offered it, take it. They know that we are owed every single thing that is offered to us. So if it's offered, take it. And she views it as reparations. So whether it's, you know, query letter reviews, scholarships, registrations, networking opportunities, sort of in honor of the Black authors and creatives who came before us who didn't have those opportunities. And not just in days of old, but currently, you know, there are editors that have come in the spotlight for bigotry and their practices. So take the opportunities and view them as reparations. And so that is a perspective that, you know, at the same time I was thinking, I was also thinking, well, maybe it's just think of it as reparations and have that be it. So that was kind of what I was left with this week thinking about. I don't know if I'm going to join CIFWA or not. I have flirted with the idea again. And it, if I don't join, it's not anything because of the actual organization at this point. I might be organizationed out. I'd have to look and see if I think CIFWA will do anything for me. I mean, I do have sort of a dearth of science fiction and fantasy networking because my network is romance and I recognize that. But when I'm in science fiction and fantasy spaces, most times people are lovely, you know, like it's fine. I'm trying to think if it's any more than in the romance spaces, the feelings of the not cool things that happen, being very articulate today. And I don't know. I can't really say. I've had some negative experiences in romance spaces and in sci-fi and fantasy spaces. And I don't think one is inherently more or less filled with more or less bigoted people than the other. I mean, the same people are everywhere. Like, and they've had, you know, more positive than negative experiences in both spaces. But yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if I'm going to continue with RWA either. I see progress there, and that's really good. But I might just be tired of organizations. I don't know. I'm very undecided at this point. But one of the things that has kept me engaged in things like RWA are the opportunities I have to give back, because I do think I got a lot out of the group. And so it's important to me to give back. So I got the opportunity from another organization that I've actually gotten a lot out of, the Muse Writer Center in Norfolk, Virginia. And if you're in the Hampton Roads area, I highly recommend it. All the classes are online now, so you could partake if you're anywhere right now. But when I lived in Norfolk, I took lots of classes at the Muse, all kinds of writing classes, from fiction to poetry to songwriting. And I was in a writer's workshop. That's how I started the literary magazine that I co-founded. So yeah, got a lot out of it. And then I rebuilt their website recently. So if you go to it and see anything wrong, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But so I've been, it's part of my extended community, even though I'm in Maryland now. And so they have a teen writers fellowship, and I'm going to be one of the mentors to one of the teen writers. And that is scary and exciting. Like, I do love giving back to writers. I don't have a lot of experience working with kids, but I think these are older teens, not like tiny children, which would be very scary. I don't think I could deal with tiny children. I have a 3-year-old niece who'll be 4 in a few months, and that is all the tiny children I can handle. And that covers the expanse of 0 to 15, probably. Anyway, I'm excited about that, and I will let you know how that goes. So, my writing update. I have been resting. I did not write this week, but I did do research. So, since I decided to focus my energy on this new idea, this new story that is really just a kernel, it needs a lot of fertilizer. In my mental crop rotation metaphor. And so if you are new, I had this idea a few months ago to do a 1920s fantasy heist story. That is all I had. I had no characters. I had no plot. I had nothing. So I've been doing research on the time period. I already had some resources, some books here, because I had been doing some research about a year, maybe 2 years ago now, for another project that I did a proposal for and just didn't work out. And so I have some stuff. And so I was just looking around, you know, reading some of the books I had, brainstorming, doing research, and I came across some really interesting facts. So even though my fantasy series, Earthsinger Chronicles, is alternate 1920s-esque. It's totally Second World fantasy. So I've done research on the 1920s, but things like, you know, when were stoplights invented? How did people cross the street? When were fire extinguishers invented? Just to make sure that the time period had the technology that would have been appropriate. And in some places, I've pushed it because it is a fantasy world. This, I've decided to make our world, but with magic or with powers, still working on the magical system and what that's going to look like and what the basis and grounding is, which means it's very different from other things I've done. The second Angel book has takes place partially in the past. I did a lot of research on 1906 San Francisco because it concerns the 1906 earthquake. So I've done pieces of research, but I've never really done a lot. I've never really written anything that required huge amounts of research. And so setting my story entirely in the 1920s in our world is just a new challenge, but it's exciting. And I never thought I wanted to do research. Like, I always shied away from it, but it's really fascinating. Like, the things that you find. So I think I found my main character, and she's going to be a real person who I discovered while I was doing research on the 1919 race riots in DC. So 1919 Red Summer, all around the country, there were various race riots. The worst, I think, being in Chicago. DC had like 4 days of violence that was started when apparently a white woman had her umbrella stolen by a black man, and her husband got drunk at a bar, and the story changed from an umbrella being stolen to her being raped. And he was, I think, a veteran from World War I, got a bunch of white soldiers together, mobs in the street, mowing down black people indiscriminately. And black people, also some of the veterans from World War I, mounted up and roamed the streets in their own little posses, shooting white people. They retaliated, which I think is really fascinating and very cool. So anyway, I found the story about this young woman, and I think she's going to be my heroine. And so I lost some time on the Library of Congress website reading old newspapers from that time period in DC and trying to find out as much of her story as possible. And then she disappears. So I'm going to follow her in the mid-20s, so 6 or 7 years after this event has happened with her, and just imagine how that has impacted her life. And I'm really excited about that. Another cool thing I found out about during my research, apropos of June being Pride Month, is this article that says the first drag queen was a former slave who fought for queer freedom a century before Stonewall. So there was this man, William Dorsey Swan, who had been born in slavery and in Maryland. And then he was in part of this DC queer community that had drag balls in the late 1800s. And those were not just in DC. I mean, I had started researching them when I found out about them in Harlem, that in the late 1800s, they had these drag balls, which drew like lots of people, black people. And then when the white people found out about it, they would come and just watch and gawk. Really fascinating stuff. So Swan, there's a headline from the Washington Post in 1888 that says, "Negro dive raided, 13 black men dressed as women surprised at supper and arrested." So yeah, the fight for LGBTQ rights has been going on since slavery, I guess. And that was just fascinating too. And so I think some of that's going to go in too, in terms of how it was still going on in the 1920s, these balls. So I'm trying to find the story, basically. I'm doing this research to find the characters and the story. I knew I wanted a heist. I knew I had to have a team. Part of my favorite thing about any heist story is like gathering the team together, you know, that whether it's a montage or whether it's a big part of the story. And so I had these sort of archetypes. And as I've learned more about the different kinds of people that I wanted to tell stories about. And so, yeah, as I've just been kind of randomly reading articles, falling down rabbit holes, letting one thing lead to the next, I've been slowly uncovering the layers of this thing. And it's really exciting and it's fun, you know. So the other part of my writing update is getting ready to work on the revision for Requiem of Silence. Like, which book am I talking about? So I've been rereading / listening to the others in the series. I finished the audiobook for Song of Blood and Stone. I'm in the middle of the audiobook for Whispers of Shadow and Flame. And then I will have to read the arc of Cry of Metal and Bone. And that's going to take me to the end of the month, I'm sure. I'm also going to read the novellas because simultaneously with revising, I'm going to be writing the short story. That's part of the pre-order campaign. That is the extra epilogue for book 3. So yeah, that is going well. And I have heard a couple of little things. Like, I realized, oh, there's a mistake. Can't change that. but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. It's a little bit painful to hear a mistake, but whatever. And, you know, I fall in love with the story again. Sometimes I'm critiquing my writing, which I knew was going to happen. But more often than not, I'm actually enjoying my writing, which is good. You know, like, I love these stories. And I do like sinking back into that world. And there are things that I forgot. Like, I don't remember writing that, you know, but also details that are going to help me because, you know, some things I got wrong and I have to update the story Bible, like hair, things that are in book 4, luckily, like I haven't discovered anything that I messed up in book 3 because I did reread these when I was, you know, deep in writing book 3, but yes, so that's moving right along. But yeah, but this break has really been necessary. And I felt so much lighter and my day has just been opened up and it's just so much more relaxing. And especially with everything going on and the stress of current events and social media, which I still need to get off of more. Like, I'm doing a very bad job of that, but having this sort of space opened up in my brain has just been exactly what I needed. So it is a good idea to totally unplug. And I'm just really feeling refreshed. Imagine that. Taking a break is good. Note to self. And over the past few weeks, I've seen a lot of people coming together to try to support Black authors and Black bookstores. And there have been some discussions about, especially in the romance community, about the difference between Black romance and Black authors. And this is something that is, like, I get on a soapbox, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox here because, I don't know, I just don't think it's appropriate. But there is a difference. So yes, you can support Black authors, and you can support Black books, and it's not always the same thing because not all Black authors are writing Black books. Some are writing multicultural books. Some are writing non-multicultural books, shall we say. And then there's, you know, people trying to support Black authors who are putting white authors on those lists or non-Black authors on those lists. Like, I saw someone had a list of Black authors that included Alicia Rye. And she was like, maybe you should make sure the authors are Black before you do that. I'm hoping are just honest mistakes. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, I do try to assume the best of people until I know otherwise. Yeah, no, there's a difference. And I'm glad that people are talking about that. I'm not trying to tear other people down, especially Black women or Black writers, for, you know, trying to get their paper. You know, like, that is your decision. You know, I consciously made a decision to write the characters that I write and put the people that I put on my covers, And that's really important to me. And that's a stand that I'm willing to take regardless. So yeah, I'm glad the conversation is being had. Write whatever you want to write. And, you know, and readers have the option to read whatever they want to read. And we all make choices with our pocketbooks and we have that purchasing power. So on the one hand, I'm glad and I'm happy that attention is being brought to Black books and Black authors. On the other hand, there was a tweet that I retweeted a couple weeks ago that was like, people shouldn't have to die for y'all to read our books, you know? That's just the way the world is, you know? I try to be as realistic as possible, not too cynical. I have the cynicism to battle my optimism. They're always at war. It just leaves me wishing there was such a thing as a meritocracy. I would like nothing better than may the best book win. Because there's so many people and the best book for someone you know, someone's best book is not going to be everyone's, but, you know, there's these two competing things. Like, I'm grateful that people are, you know, that these hashtags and these campaigns to support Black authors and Black creatives and Black everything is happening, you know. It shouldn't have to, but it does. I don't know. I don't really have a point. Also, I finished designing the swag for Cry of Metal and Bone, so bookmarks and stickers. I've had bookmarks and stickers for the whole series, and at one point I was like, should I do them for every book? But I might as well. So I have to order those. I think I was supposed to order them this week already. I have not ordered them yet, but I was tweaking the design because the cover, the proportions just made it a little bit more difficult than it had been for the first two books, but I got it done. I figured it out. I have to order them, which I will, it's been on my list to do every day this week. And for some reason I haven't done it. And it's not hard. It's just one of those things where it's like, go to the website, order them, upload the files. You're done. Just have to do it. And once I do that and get the form together, I will officially post the pre-order campaign. I did a teaser for it in my newsletter this week, but I haven't actually put all the pieces together to get it a thing that you can actually do, which another thing on my list. So this week, goals. I think my break will have to be over. I will need to start thinking about that short story again. And I'm not scheduled to actually start writing it till July. So I have the rest of the month to noodle on it. But I know, you know, the basics of what's going to happen. And it's short enough that I'll probably just pants it and not stress myself out too much. Because I do have enough time to revise it and give it what it needs. Order the stuff, order the swag. And I don't know if there's other things, I've already forgotten them. Maybe my brain is a little too relaxed. So that's it for me for this week. I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next time. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would love a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, including the Big Gay Fiction Podcast, check out frolic.media/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Will from the Big Gay Fiction Podcast. We're proud to be part of the Frolic Podcast Network.
Our show is for avid readers and passionate fans of gay romance fiction. Each week, we bring you exclusive author interviews, book recommendations, and explore the latest in gay pop culture. We've talked to a wide range of authors, such as Casey McQuiston, Adriana Herrera, Becky Albertalli, and Suzanne Brockman. TJ Klune has appeared a number of times on the show to tell listeners about his epic tales featuring werewolves, wizards, and drag queens.
New episodes are available every Monday. You can find us at biggayfictionpodcast.com and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We hope you'll join us soon. Until then, keep turning those pages and keep reading.